Good morning, everybody. I've been thinking throughout the course of the week about Mother's Day. I have a tradition for my wife. Most of you know that we have four daughters. Avery is 8, Kaylee is 5, Maggie is 3, and Lila Grace, LG, is 1. LG's about to be 2, y'all. She's going on 30, I think. I have this tradition that on Mother's Day, which always falls on Sunday, so it's a little bit tough for me to do because I have to be here, and a lot of times you have meetings on Sunday and so forth, but that Wendy's gift is I take care of the kids for the whole day. She just gets to go, and so she did that yesterday, and so what I told her was, I said, look, I tried to find a babysitter that could watch the kids all day so that we could just go out together all day. That kind of fell through at the last second. I said, but here's what I've done. I did a little bit of a side job a little time ago, and I just kept the cash from it. I said, so I'm just going to give you the cash, and you just go out for the day. And she goes, all right. And the next thing I saw was the white car gone down the road. Gone. And then last night when I'm putting them down to bed, the white car pulled in. Just in time. I really am a blessed guy. I think about it over the course of this past week. If Mother's Day does anything for me, I think about the wife that the Lord has given me, and I'm a very blessed man. I have a lot of fun with her. I look at her, and when I leave the house in the morning to go to work, I know that my kids are well taken care of. I trust her judgment. I trust her wisdom. I know her heart. I know what she thinks about my kids, and that matters to me. Not everybody can say something like that. I can say that. She's my best friend, but she's more than my best friend. We just have a good time. We've been married near 12 years. It'll be 12 years this December, and it's one of those things where we wake up in the morning, and I'm glad to share the day with her. And then at the end of the day, I'm glad that I've still got her at the end of the day, because I consider the words of Scripture. We are a vapor that appears for a while, and then we vanish away. And I know that I've had one more day to share with her, and that as a result of that, I'm blessed because I've got her. My wife really does show what it is that the wisdom of Proverbs says that I, as a young man, should have looked for in a wife. And that's what the book of Proverbs really is about. It's a direction to a young man. And then everybody looks at Proverbs 31, right? The Proverbs woman, And everybody reads Proverbs 31 and you think it's about the woman. Actually, it's for the man. It's for the man that has not yet married. He doesn't have a wife. But these are the character traits that you should be looking for in a woman. Likewise, women, I think that you could probably flip these character traits, and these are also the same types of character traits that you should be looking for in a man. And so today, I'm going to be jumping around because Proverbs isn't structured in a way where you just kind of read verse after verse after verse after verse and unpack it. Really, it's kind of all over the book of Proverbs is what I'm going to be drawing from this morning. And I'm going to talk a lot about marriage, and I'm going to talk a lot about the traits of a godly wife. And as a result, you're going to see the characteristics and the traits of a godly mother. And so listen hard because you're going to hear me go through a lot of Proverbs, okay? Here we go. One of the things that we see is marriage, in at least as far as Proverbs is concerned, it's the norm. It's what people do. Instead of being celibate or not being married, the norm is that people get married. And marriage is viewed as a divine institution. This is something that God has created. If we remember when God created the world, right? What did he do? The first time that we hear it's not good is when he looked on Adam and he did not have a suitable helper. And so God puts him under a sleep, takes a rib, and then fashions the woman from his rib and then presents to him a suitable helper. She's described as a helpmate. Now, one of the things that I like to pick on Wendy about when maybe things are, you know how it is when you're raising children, when it is how it is that you're trying to keep a healthy marriage. It's work, isn't it? But one of the ways I like to pick on her a little bit is, when things get difficult, I say, my side's hurting a little bit. I feel like I'm missing something right here. fashioned from the rib. She is a helpmate. She is a suitable helper. Now, that being said, guys, you might sit there and go, she's a suitable helper for me. Well, not so quick, right? I mean, that might be a place you would like to go. That's just not a biblical place to go. Because what you do is you mutually submit to one another. This is the wisdom that Paul teaches us in Ephesians. Mutual submission to one another. So here's what that means. If you reflect back on the day that you got married, you made some vows, right? And you promised to be a certain person for the other person. What you weren't promising is that you wanted to benefit all of the positive virtues and characteristics in the other person, but that you were making no commitment to being a certain type of person for them. No, what you said on your wedding day is that you were making a vow to be somebody for somebody. And what you didn't say is, now that's when I approve of you, right? You just said, I'll be this person. A lot of times these character traits are what pushes us through the difficult times because our circumstances don't help us. Our character helps us. So keep that in mind. Marriage is viewed as a divine institution, and it's God who gives a man and a woman, a man a virtuous wife. Think about this in Proverbs 19:14. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Or think about this in Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. But then we also get these warnings. Proverbs 21:19. It's better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. Do you think that when you read Proverbs that there's this set, there's these things that are set side by side? There's this woman that is virtuous. There's this woman that seeks your well-being, your good. She's in it for you. And then there's the other woman. The way that Proverbs says it, she is Lady Folly, right? And the fool pursues her. And here's the thing. The way that Proverbs unpacks it is, it's not just that the fool pursues her. It says all of the denizens of her house. Now, what that means is all of the people that are in her house, right? The fool pursues her, and all of the denizens of her house are dead. She kills him. She doesn't build him up. She doesn't support him. She doesn't edify him. Instead, she drags him down. She destroys him. Now, that's talking about spiritually destroying him. And remember, Proverbs being directed toward a young man, what is it that Solomon is saying? Don't go after this woman. She will be the end of you. Now, we could just as quickly flip the coin and say, what about a guy? A guy could be the end of you, ladies, right? A guy can be the end of you. Think about Proverbs 27:15 and 16. It says, a constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. He who would restrain her restrains the wind. In other words, good luck. And grasps oil with his right hand. This is not what God created this for, right? Are you getting this from Proverbs? This is not what God created this for. God created marriage, and he created the relationship between a husband and a wife to be a beautiful thing. It's supposed to be something that images the relationship between Jesus and his church. And what that means is that there's mutual sacrifice coming between husband and wife. So what are the character traits of a godly wife? I mean, if this is what Proverbs is really trying to direct us toward, then what are those character traits? Well, let me give them to you. Here's number one, and it's going to sound pretty obvious. A godly wife is godly. Shock of the world, right? A godly wife is godly. Godliness begins with a proper relationship with God. What that means is if you're looking for someone that might be a fitting spouse for you, the first thing that you ought to look for is, does this person, whether it's male or female actually, have the right values? Are these the types of values that we can share in? The way that Paul talks about that is we are equally yoked with one another. It's not just that we have a common faith. It's that we're pursuing common virtues. And that's going to matter. It's really going to matter when you have children, because you have to make decisions, don't you? You have to model a certain type of life for your children, don't you? And what you don't want is the dad to model one type of life and the mom to model another. You don't want the dad to lack virtue and the mom to have virtue. Likewise, you don't want the dad to be the man of virtue and the mom to be a woman without virtue. You want both the dad and the mom to be people of character. You want them to be people of virtue. Now, why is that? It's because children first learn by watching you. By watching you. I've shared this before, but I remember it just struck me when I was walking on the beach one day with Avery and Kaylee, and they were behind me. I watched as Avery tried to step in my steps because I'd left an imprint in the sand. And man, it hit me like that. I better watch how I step. I mean, they're following me like that. So what's the content of my speech? Am I really reflecting something that builds my children up, that points my children toward Christ? And this isn't just my responsibility as their daddy. It's also my wife's responsibility that there is a consistency and there is a harmony in the home. What we are saying agrees with each other. The way the Proverbs 31:30 says is this: charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, in contrast to that, the woman to avoid is the one who doesn't know or fear God. She's sometimes referred to as a strange woman. I like that. That is, she's a foreigner. That's the way the Hebrew reads. One who has no knowledge of God or what it is that God is supposed to do for her life. She's actively evil, Proverbs says, and has no grasp of the way of the Lord. Think of Proverbs 5:6. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable, and yet she doesn't even know it. Or Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. This is what the wisdom of the Lord is to do. So while it's not the same thing with the fear of the Lord, the godly wife is referred to as virtuous. She's referred to as excellent in Proverbs 12, 4. And this seems to describe the moral excellence of the godly wife. This is the result of her godliness. One of the things that Wendy and I want our girls to see as we raise them, now this might sound weird, but we want them to see us fight, because you're going to fight, right? If you sit there and tell me you haven't fought in your marriage, you are lying. You have fought, right? You disagree on things. One of the things that we want our girls to see is that we disagree. But more important than that, we want them to see, even in our disagreements, we're a team. We are a team. That way they can't play one against the other. I've got my wife's back. She's got my back. That's what we want them to see. The other thing that we want them to see is this, is that given that we are a team, in spite of the fact that we disagree, we are going to work together to come to a place where we can work this out together. We need them to see that, because it's true in your marriage, just like it's true in your friendships, just like it's true in all of your relationships, there's going to be conflict. But to handle conflict in a godly way, the primary teacher of children is the mom and the dad. That's the primary teacher. It's not me. Even though I'm the pastor of the church, it's not me. It's mom and dad. As they watch you in your conflicts and as they watch you in resolving your conflicts, they learn. Second, a godly wife is wise. She's wise. Now, you'll recall wisdom is personified as a woman in the book of Proverbs. I love that. So also, the ideal wife is characterized as a woman of wisdom. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Proverbs 14, 1. And by the way, this is not HGTV, right? When we say the wise woman builds a house, we're not talking about all the interior decorating that's going on. We're talking about providing a place and an atmosphere in a home where virtue can be cultivated. She builds her house. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Proverbs 31, 26. The opposite of the godly woman is the woman of folly. There's the lady of wisdom, and then there's Lady Folly. The woman of folly is boisterous, Proverbs says. She is naive, and she knows nothing. Proverbs 9, 13. Or as a ring of gold, listen to this one, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Proverbs 11, 22. Did you catch that? Gold in a pig's snout. Now, why is it that that's the image being used? It's because you have something that is as valuable as gold being put into something that's considered to be filthy and dirty and despicable, at least in that culture. These two things don't work together. Instead, women are to be like gold, wise. Third, a godly wife honors her husband. A man who has married a godly wife has a wife who will bring honor to him, brings honor to him. Ladies, do you honor your husband? You know, there's a friend of mine was doing a sermon, and he said, ladies, let me give you a word of encouragement. Don't give your husband sloppy seconds, right? If you were to have a night out on the town and you get yourself all dolled up to go away while he stays at home watching the kids so that you can have a night out, but when he comes in, you look like something blew up on you, give him something better than that. But guys, you know what? This is a two-way street. This is a two-way street. Just as you made a vow that you would honor and you would pursue the good for your wife, you give her your very best. Now, of course, I'm making a bit of a joke when I say, how do you appear? I'm really talking more about the content of your heart. What is it, guys, that you're giving your wife? What is it? What is it that is in here is the question. Ladies, what is it that is in here? Because this is what it is, your heart. This is what you offer to your husband. What's in there? That's the question that we have to ask. A godly wife brings honor to her husband. Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is rottenness to his bones. Look at it like this. You can recognize when a man has a good woman for a wife, can't you? You can know it. Even if you're married, you can look at another woman and say, she is a good wife to that man. And as a result, you know what? You know that man is blessed. You know that. And what Proverbs 12:4 is telling you is this: everyone in the community recognizes the woman of virtue and what a blessing she is to those that are around her. But what about the other woman? She is rottenness. Notice what it says, to his bones. She will rot him out. She will pull him down. She will drag him away from things that are not of abiding value. No, a godly wife brings honor to her husband. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Proverbs 31, 11 and 12. An ungodly wife humiliates and harasses her husband. She's not a helper but a hindrance to her mate. She is the rottenness to his bones. Fourth, a godly wife is gracious. A godly wife is gracious. One reason honor is given to the godly woman is that she is known for her graciousness. A gracious woman attains honor, and violent men attain riches. Proverbs 11:16 says, what would you prefer have, riches or honor? Some people are willing to sell their honor for riches, and people know the difference between the two. You probably have somebody in mind, right? Somebody that was willing to sell their soul out so that they attain riches, but they've got nothing in terms of virtue and character to offer people that are around them. A gracious woman attains honor. However, the ungodly woman is spoken of in very unbecoming terms. She is vexing due to her contentious nature. Don't you like that? It's better to live in the corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Proverbs 21:9. There's a word from the wise, right? By the way, could we flip that and say, suppose that you have a contentious man. It's better to live up in the corner of the roof. By the way, you don't want to be in the corner of the roof, right? That's not where you're supposed to abide. You're supposed to be in the thick of the home. But it's better to be hidden up there than to have to live with that. A godly wife is gracious. Also, a godly wife is faithful to her husband. This is most clearly shown in contrast with the woman of folly who is an adulteress. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leave the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Proverbs 2:16-17. Or to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. You remember Proverbs 6:24. She will destroy you. You remember what I said? Proverbs says that the denizens of her house are all what? Dead. Dead. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning, and let us delight ourselves in the caresses, for the man is not at home. He's not with his wife. He is with the woman that has lured him away. Proverbs 7, 18 and 19. Understand this. A godly wife is faithful to her husband. A godly husband is faithful to his wife. These are the ways that lead to death. And by the way, don't you see it? I mean, isn't it true? I mean, look around you. What normally happens when we invest in the things that are considered to be lady folly? You see the structure of the family falls apart. You see that the relationships between the father and the children falls apart. You see the relationships between the wife and the children breaks apart. This is not what God created it for. So I want you to think about this morning. When you think about your mom, as I've thought about mine, as I've thought about my wife this week, I consider myself so blessed because my mother is a godly woman. I could always go to her for wisdom and know that what it is that she spoke to me was going to be true and was going to be for my good. Here's what it didn't necessarily mean, that it was going to be easy and I wanted to hear it. You know the difference between the two? But my mother would say hard words so that I would become a better man. And what she wanted from me was so that I would be the man that my future wife would deserve. She deserves you to be a certain kind of man. And she doesn't deserve for you to be an ungodly man. Likewise, though, since I'm her son, she wants my good. You know what I'm saying? She wants what's good for me. And so she prayed from the time that they found out I'm number three of three sons. I'll never forget this. My mother said when I found out that there was something in my stomach, I had prayed that it was a tumor. She had had two kids, and the second one was pretty tough as a baby. Please let it be a tumor. I got a birthday card when I was about 20 years old. And she goes, I don't think that anymore. I like you. I think you're cool. Let me give you a hint of the wisdom of my mom and my dad as they prayed for me. From the time that they found out that they were going to have a third son, they prayed the same thing for me as they did my two older brothers. God, we pray, God, would you please order the circumstances of their life in such a way that whatever woman you bring in front of them, she has to show her true self to them before they get married. What kind of prayer is that? She has to show herself. And what that meant is my parents were willing for us to go through some really difficult times so that those women would show themselves to us. The way that they looked at it, if we raise you to be a godly man, you're going to have discretion and you're going to have discernment. But if she is hiding herself from you, you would never know how to choose. We raise you so that you become a virtuous man. But God, make her reveal herself so that they can choose wisely. You know why? It's because it's not just that a godly woman is virtuous like we've talked about. You also recognize this. A godly woman, just like my wife, is your best friend. It's your best friend. Let me give you some thoughts about that. A good friend is faithful, right? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, Proverbs 17, 17. A man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs 18, 24. These same characteristics that we see in these verses are the same characteristics that I benefit from in being married to my wife. A good friend rebukes us when necessary. There are times when Wendy looks at me and says, you know, Jeremy, you probably shouldn't have said that. You know, Jeremy, you probably shouldn't have done that. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't want to hear it. You know why? It's because I'm at times prideful. At times I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. You get the point, but nevertheless, a good friend rebukes us when necessary. Think about Proverbs 29:5. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Better is open rebuke than love is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs 27:5 and 6. A good friend is thoughtful and tactful, just like my wife. Like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda, is he who sings songs to a troubled heart. Proverbs 25:20. See, we can look at this and we can look at a whole lot more. But what it is that we find in Proverbs is this. And as I've thought about it over the course of this week, this is who I married. This is who I married. And so I'm blessed. But here's the thing. Just because my wife is this woman today doesn't mean that she will be in 5 years. Your spiritual life has to be maintained, does it not? Because it is a relationship just like I have my relationship with my wife. How do I maintain my relationship with my wife? I woo her, right? I mean, I got her married. I tricked her into that. But I woo her. I go after her. I still tell her, hey, you look good. You know what I'm saying? I like being around you. You're my best friend. Let's go play. You know, those kinds of things. I still do those things. How about my relationship with God? How about your relationship with God? It has to be maintained. Right? It has to be maintained. So, in spite of the fact that you might resemble some of the characteristics of the virtuous person today, that's no promise that you'll be that person in 5 years. How's your spiritual life? Have you taken the measures that are necessary to sustain your spiritual life in good health and in good faith? That's the question that we ask this morning. And then recognize that the way that the wisdom of Proverbs unfolds as it comes to Proverbs chapter 31, the Proverbs woman, she is a blessing to her husband and to her whole family. And people praise the husband at the city gates because he has her. That is awesome. And what I hope is this morning is that that's what people can say about you. They can say about you as moms, can say about you as wives, but on the flip side, can say the same thing about you as a husband, can say the same thing about you as a father, that you are known as people of virtue because you love the Lord and this is what flows out of your heart. I'm going to stand at the front this morning, and in this time of invitation, if you want to come and talk with me about what it means to really hand your heart over to Jesus Christ, the one that takes the heart of stone and makes it a heart of flesh so that we can be made over and fashioned into his image and we can become something new, I invite you to come during this time. But I also invite those of you that are looking for a church home. You want to find a place that you can plug in, not so that you can come and sit, we don't believe in that here, but so that you can come and serve as a part of this body. That's what this time is about. I'm going to stand down front and I ask you to come. As we wait, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for the blessing of marriage. We thank you for every good thing that you created. And what we pray for this morning, Lord, is that your spirit really will penetrate our hearts, that these words can settle into them and that we can be changed. We can look more like Christ. So we give this time over to you so that those decisions can be made. And just as Joshua said, as for me and my house, today we will serve the Lord. We can have that kind of conviction and commitment in this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.